Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, or slow, slow, quick step, slow, or what was the other one? Step, step, rock back, step. Those were all the verbal instructions for various dances that I had to learn in gym class back in the early 80s. From the waltz to the foxtrot to the Lindy Hop, these dances were taught by these instructions and sometimes by shoe prints dropped on the floor, all right, or put up on a blackboard. But even with all of those kinds of aids, it can still be hard to pick up a dance. And so what you really need is an example. And so the teachers, the instructors would go about showing you the steps, slow at first, and then finally moving up to the final speed. And then you might know how to dance. In today's gospel story, the disciples have seen Jesus go off by himself to pray many times. They have seen that Jesus finds conversation with God to be very important. Because of this, they kind of have that shoe prints version of prayer. And so they ask Jesus if he will spend some time with them and give them an example. Lord, teach us pray. It's a powerful request, and it is one of the only times in the Gospels that we hear the disciples ask something like that. And so what we receive in today's Gospel reading is Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer. This prayer is one of the most important in all of Christianity. It is used every single day, many times a day, all around the world. We say it together every week and at almost every worship service we have together here at St. John's. Why? Because it is a gift from Jesus, a gift to all of us. It's an example of the kind of words that we can use, and it is a model of the kinds of attitudes that we can bring to prayer. The Lord's Prayer connects us across time and space with the disciples, with our fellow Christians, as we all of us hold conversation with God. I think that it's remarkably healthy that the disciples ask Jesus this question when they do. Because in the story of Jesus making his way to Jerusalem, this moment is not a moment of desperation. Although those will come soon. It's not a time when they're looking for something specific. They want some instruction on prayer because I think they knew that story that we heard from Genesis about Abraham. Because Abraham was looking for something kind of specific and may have wanted some instruction in praying. Because the city of Sodom was condemned and Abraham was concerned. He was worried about the righteous who could be found there. And so Abraham and God have an amazing conversation, moving from Abraham requesting pardon for 50 through 45 to 40 to 30 to 20 to 10. 10 righteous ones. And for that 10, God would save. See, Abraham and God were having a conversation, but it was a very specific conversation. Abraham's love for neighbor was driving that conversation, and I think that God was glad to have that conversation, watching Abraham as he was striving to help others. Today, the disciples are interested in instruction. Because the time is not desperate. They're not there trying to plead with God for the sake of 45 righteous people. It's a typical day. And they had seen in Jesus' life that conversations with God can be, should be, all the time. And not only when we are especially needy. So today Jesus obliges. Jesus gives them words that they can use. But in giving those words, Jesus also gives to them and to all of us a model that they can use with any words to hold that conversation with God. And Jesus begins by saying, when you pray, pray like this, Father. This opening line in this prayer implies a closeness in our relationship with God. It implies an intimacy with God that we may have never thought of or tried to pursue. Jesus is teaching us to see that our relationship with God, as intimately as we see our relationship with our own parents or with friends, this is no one who needs to be impressed by you. This is someone who wants to hear you. This is someone who loves you. And then Jesus follows up with, "Hallowed be your name." Martin Luther, in his explanation to this petition in the Lord's Prayer, reminds us that God's name is already holy. We can't make it any more holy. We ask in this petition that we can keep it holy in our life, in our conversation, in how we behave, in where we talk. And then Jesus continues, "Your kingdom come." Now, if we've been remembering what we've heard from the Gospels, Jesus has already announced that the kingdom of God is at hand. And so we're praying here that we can see that kingdom, that we can feel it, that we can point to it. And perhaps even we might be able to help others to see that kingdom through what it is that we say and do. Then we get to one of the most amazing petitions. Give us each day our daily bread. Now, growing up and having to pray this all the time in religion class or at chapel and all the rest of that, for the longest time, I thought this was the loaf of bread that we kept in the bread box. Give us, Lord, this bread. Again, Luther in his explanation included food and clothing, home and family, daily work, and all I need from day to day. But this is what Jesus is calling us to ask for. The things that we need to survive today. Jesus isn't calling us to pray about next week or next month or 5 years from now. Jesus is calling us to concern ourselves with today. The day that we have right now. Look to your day. And then he continues, "Forgive us our sins, as we forgive everyone indebted to us." This is huge. Jesus is putting forgiveness in our hands. As we ask for our own forgiveness, Jesus implies that we can forgive one another. We can let go of the things that keep us from moving into tomorrow with hope. We can forgive and grant hope to someone else, knowing that God's forgiveness comes to us already. This is a big gift. It's as big a gift as this whole prayer itself. And then Jesus concludes this morning with, "Do not bring us to the time of trial." Because God knows that temptations will come to us. Jesus is teaching us that God is not the one who is tempting us. And in this petition, we are asking help as we walk into the world. We're asking that God would stand by us, keeping us from the trials and the temptations that come. See, Jesus gave the disciples all of these words that they could use as an example that we still use to this day as a model for prayer. We learn of our intimacy with God, and we are given permission to ask for the strength and the wisdom to keep God's name holy and the kingdom coming. We get to ask for our needs every day because it is not selfish to consider what is necessary. We also get to move into the gracious world of forgiveness, even as we ask for our own forgiveness and our rescue from trial, temptation. Jesus has given it all. Now, like Abraham, we can still come to God in our desperation with whatever words that we can cobble together. We can turn to hymnals and prayer books for more and more examples. We can sit in the silence of our hearts, knowing that the Holy Spirit understands. You see, the great good news that I can share today is that God wants to listen to you. God wants to listen to all of us. And as we dance through our lives of faith, it doesn't matter if we get the steps wrong or if we lead with the wrong foot. As we pray, God cares. And God wants to know what is on our minds. We don't have to use fancy words or phrases. We don't have to bargain or make promises. What is needed is love. A love for God and a desire for that intimacy that we already have. It also needs a love for ourselves and for our neighbors that will drive us to discover all of the ways that we can bring this kingdom of God to light. Lord, teach us to pray. God has a vision that we will be in conversation. So let's make that a part of our mission. Amen.